What I want to share today is based on a picture that the Lord gave me. It's probably 6 weeks ago now. I was sat there and I thought, well, do I need to go out and share that now? But I felt like it wasn't the right time. And over the last 6 weeks, I've just been getting more and more understanding about this picture. And everything's kind of based around that today. And the picture was this. There was a huge expanse like a field, and it was just full of people, just people everywhere. And there were some people running and laughing and jumping and dancing and enjoying some beautiful sunshine. There were some other people that I saw, and they had like a dark cloud over their head. I don't know if you've ever seen that in movies sometimes where you get that one person who's got a rain cloud that just seems to follow them everywhere. And there was a storm came at one point. And there were some people desperately trying to shelter with an umbrella. A bit like this one. Let me just show you this one. This is the most useless umbrella I have ever had in my life. £6 from the co-op. Thought, I need an umbrella for when I watch Ellie play football, because the weather's always awful at Hightown. So I took this along to one of the football matches. It was windy, it was raining, and it was useless. It turned inside out. The water was dripping off these bits, so I was getting actually more wet than if I didn't have it at all. Absolutely useless. And that's what I could see in this picture. And when that wasn't working, you get out the big guns. If I can do it. I didn't get it to go up. Okay. That's a pretty good one. So I took this along to football the week after, and not only was I able to shelter myself in it, I was able to shelter one of the girls' granddads, and there was about 10 parents under it at one point. But the wind was that strong that it started to pull that way. And there was a gentleman next to me that I was sheltering, an older gentleman. He was getting absolutely drenched from the water that was dripping off the ends of it. So even that didn't suffice. So that's what I saw in this picture. So I've been asking the Lord, what on earth is this about? What are these clouds? And then he showed me that these clouds represent a few things for people. They represent lies that people have believed, maybe for years. So that lie might be that I'm unlovable, that I'm a mistake, I'm helpless, I'm stuck, I'm talentless, I'm worthless, I'm boring, I'm ugly, I've been let down, I've been abandoned, abused, forgotten. So these are lies, or some of them are core beliefs, things that stay so strong with people that it's like this cloud is over their head all the time. And if you work in mental health, as I did for years, people will often describe that it feels like there's this just dark cloud that follows them everywhere. It doesn't matter if something good happens in their life, whatever it is, because of this dark cloud, they're just not able to enjoy life and enjoy the things in front of them because of this cloud. And the Lord also showed me that the cloud can represent pain. Can be pain of all sorts of things, and can represent fear and all of these things that weigh us down. And the people in this picture who had this cloud, sometimes they were trying to outrun it, so they'd run really fast in the hope they could get away from it, but it just followed them wherever they went, and they could see other people. They seemed to be free, seemed to be able to enjoy the sunshine and jumping around, and they desperately wanted to be part of that, but this cloud was just stopping them. And I could see the people with the umbrellas trying to use whatever they can around them to feel better, to feel comforted, to feel joy, to feel safe, to feel secure. But just like these umbrellas actually made it worse for me in that rainstorm, they became an encumbrance. And that's what these things are that we try and grab onto, because we're desperate to try and get that sense of freedom. But wonderful things happened in this picture as I've been meditating on it. But over the whole scene, I saw these wings, just the most beautiful wings I've ever seen. And they were kind of opaque, The sun was shining through them, but they were hovering over the whole scene. And the Lord said, that's the shadow of my wing. Now, I've heard that phrase before. I've never really stopped and thought about what it means before, the shadow of your wings. But let me just read some of these psalms about these wings. Psalm 36:7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 61:4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings. Psalm 57, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge, in the shadow of your wings. I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. And by destruction there, it's talking about troubles, calamity, raging storms. This was a psalm of David when he fled from Saul and he ended up in a cave. And the story goes that Saul ended up in that cave because he had a wee in the entrance of the cave. And what David realized was that I'm not really physically safe, even though I'm in a cave. But what he realized was that his soul was safe because of who his God was, because of the shadow of his wings. And he wasn't saying, you'll notice, that there won't be calamities and things that come by, because we know there are storms in life. There's no getting away from that. But what he's saying is, in your wings, I'll be safe, and so that I'm not destroyed. And I think a lot of people can feel like they've been destroyed, that there's no way back from that. Psalm 91, just wonderful. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Wow, that's just amazing. I think we sometimes feel that we've been left on our own to cope in life. And what I noticed in this picture is that those who had this cloud above them, who were trying to use the things around them, they just weren't aware. They hadn't even noticed these wings. And that's what happens when these issues just stay with us the whole of our life, these issues that we think define us that we can't get rid of. We desensitize ourselves to the fact that he's there with us all the time. Those wings are always over us. And right back at the beginning of time, when it talks about the Holy Spirit hovering over the earth when it was being created, that imagery of that bird and those wings, again, he's always been there. Oh, I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful picture. And I think becoming aware is what we need to be doing. It's not about, Lord, will you come? Will you be with us today? And we beg him for his presence. I can tell you now, his presence is always here. But it's about that awareness. It says in the word, incline your ear and incline your heart. Because he's always near to us. And earlier in the week, I'm doing this Couch to 5K app. I know the Edwards have been doing that, doing really well with that. Anyone else tried the Couch to 5K? Yeah, it's hard. Even running for a minute and a half, it's really hard. But I went out with Joe. Joe comes out on his scooter to cheer me on sometimes. But this time he decided he wanted to run with me. And he was doing really well. And then when we'd finished the run and you do like a 5-minute walk to finish and we're walking through Hightown, it had gone dark at this point. And we're just walking along and he's there. He was right next to me, just as the Father is always next to us. And then he just suddenly took hold of my hand. And immediately I heard the Lord say, that's what I want you to tell everybody. That's all I'm asking them to do, is take hold of my hand. We make it so complicated. I was just absolutely bowled over. And I thought, what a really simple picture. And the pleasure I got from Joe holding my hand, because it had gone a bit dark in Hightown, he felt a little bit insecure, so he just took hold of my hand. He'd known I was there the whole time, but in that moment, he just needed that little bit of extra security, and he took hold of my hand. And I thought, oh my goodness, that must be how God feels when we just say, okay, we're doing this together. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what he said, tell them, that's all I'm asking. I was just so moved by that. I just think it's a wonderful picture. But it's just so important that we recognise that he's with us all the time, and what he's asking is for us to put our trust in him. And if you think of a bird, I've been reading a bit about birds' wings like you do. The outer part of the wings is really strong. The Bible calls it the pinions. Those pinions, there's strength in those wings. You can be hidden there until these things have passed. But there's also the soft feathers underneath where there's warmth and there's comfort. And God's desire has always been to gather us under his wings, for us to know that that's our safe place and for us to continually go there so that when we're insecure, we're not trying to just find anything around us that's going to make us feel better, because we know those things ultimately are going to be a hindrance. And just that idea, you know, when those birds are under those wings, how close they must be to the heartbeat. That heartbeat, and the Lord was just speaking to me again about his heartbeat, because when we're close to him, we start to get his heartbeat for others. When we're walking with a continual cloud over us, we haven't really got time or even the resources to be there for other people, because we're just so busy trying to survive ourselves. But when our soul is nourished and we feel secure, we are so much more effective for those around us, because we know what God's heartbeat is for others and we're safe. And I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful picture. There's warmth there. So these clouds, just going back to these dark clouds, this is the sort of impact that it has. It affects relationships when you carry these things around, attitudes, behaviours. It isolates us, maybe because we feel guilty that we feel that way, or because we just can't deal sometimes with other people's pain when we carry our own pain. It's just too hard to be around. It causes us to feel unsafe. It dulls our sensitivity. It can act as an excuse sometimes. You know, we can use things and it gives us that sense of justification as to why we're not getting involved and we're not getting engaged. And that is not meant to be condemnatory at all. But that is the truth sometimes, that we can just use that. Well, you know, that's not me. That can't be for me because I'm dealing with this. It acts as a filter as well. So if you have a core belief that you're ugly, for example, I could get everybody in this room to line up and give them all something to say to you. You're beautiful, you're wonderfully and fearfully made, and all of these truths. But as long as you've got that filter in front of your heart, I'm ugly, you'll filter those things away. So if I felt like that and my mum said, but you're beautiful, I'd think, well, you've got to say that, you're my mum. You know, or if someone else said it, yeah, well, you're just saying that because it would be really mean to say anything different. And we filter it. And you probably recognise things like that yourself. We can't take that in because that filter is in front of our heart. And it's the Holy Spirit and the love of God that is meant to be our filter. There can be a real comfort and familiarity with some of these issues. I've seen that time and time again when I've worked in doing therapy. As you know, for years I worked with people with obesity. And there was one lady I was working with, and we were just getting nowhere. You know, she wasn't making any progress. I'd go week after week, and she hadn't put into place any of the things we'd talked about. So I just said to her one day, do you actually want this? Do you want to lose weight? And it sounds like an obvious question, because they're in the service, so they must want to lose weight. And actually, the truth of it was she didn't. And the reason why was because she was known as the fat one in the family. And that was her status. It meant that she stood out from the others, and she said, if I lose weight, who will I be? I'll be nobody. I'll just be another face in the crowd. Wow. That is so powerful. But I've seen that time and time again when I've worked with people with different issues, that fear. If I let this go, because I've had this in my life for so long, I have no idea who I am without it. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how I'll feel. It sounds unsafe. I don't want to go there. That is how deep things can go in our heart, but God can turn all that around. But we have to believe that, and we have to want that, because with all of this, the first step is to actually want these things to be gone because they can feel so familiar. They can become such a part of our identity and status that we just can't imagine life without it. And yet we know that it's an encumbrance. We know that because there's something that's holding us back. A real biggie when you sort of carry these issues around, they distract you from doing and being all that you're called to be. Because you're so busy just trying to guard your heart, or keep your heart safe, you know, that it's such a distraction. And I always feel at the crux of all of these things, it's about feeling safe. Whenever I've worked with people in therapy, it always comes down to a moment or a period of time where they felt unsafe. And that's when some of the issues started. And we know that to feel safe, we have to trust. We have to trust in God. We have to trust in his love, because without that, it's so, so difficult. But in contrast, let's just think about those people who knew when the storms came, and I saw it in the picture, they would just immediately get undercover. Or if the sun was becoming too hot, they would immediately get into the shade. And in some translations, when it talks about the shadow of the wing, it means the shade. I just think that's lovely. This is what happens when you're in that place. It brings healing. You think if a baby bird was injured, it would stay there until it was fixed, wouldn't it? Just stay there under those wings. It brings protection, comfort, peace, warmth, causes you to feel secure. It raises your awareness of God's presence and guidance, and that benefits you and others. When you're there, you know who you are in Christ. It helps you focus on God's plans and purposes. It enables revelation, and it helps you start to believe the truth about who you are. And that's why the Bible talks about abiding. It's my favourite word in the Bible, abide. If you've got a favourite word. But I love that, because abide means to stay put, remain, make your permanent residence. So it's not abide in the worldview. You might abide for a while and then you move on. We're not meant to move on. We're supposed to abide always with that awareness of those wings. And sometimes we're meant to be really pressed in and hidden for a while. Other times it's about you're aware and you know he's there and you're in it together and you're free and you're doing what you need to do. But some of the things that the Lord showed me when I've sort of been in that place, I've had revelation on things I thought I knew. Just the word Emmanuel just blew me away the other week. We've been singing Emmanuel, Emmanuel for years in church. And I suddenly just got this revelation, Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. Jesus came so that God was with us and amongst us. What an amazing picture. I got revelation about the Lord is my shepherd when I spoke that time when it was the baptisms and I spoke on Psalm 23. Again, I've heard that psalm so many times, but it just came alive to me. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. It's got everything in it. Everything you could need for life and godliness is in that psalm. Just incredible. What God's doing when you're abiding is he's rewriting what's on your heart. Through the word, through worship, talking to God, just knowing he's there. And putting yourself in a place of hearing from him, from others as well. We can't do life on our own. I don't know if you know that, but we can't. Yeah, and when God speaks, he wants us to do something with that. Not just think, oh, that's nice. You know, we'll come out and be prayed for, get a word, and then it's forgotten. It's about holding it in your heart. And there's a word I got from Eddie Ranger, old youth leader. I don't mean old. Former youth leader. And Eddie just gets the most incredible words from God. And he got this word, I don't know, I must have been about 14 maybe. And it was about how God was going to keep me youthful, physically and emotionally and all these other ways, just going to keep me youthful. And I tell you, I really took that on board. And that's become such a part of who I am. You know, I didn't just forget about that. That's something I think about all the time. And people often think I'm younger than I am. And I believe that's because that's what God spoke over my life. And I believed it. It was so, so powerful. So thank you for that. Because when you're obedient to speak the things that God's given you for other people, it has an impact. You know, and I like to think I'm quite young in my outlook. And again, I think that's God. That's who God's made me. And it's wonderful. And I just want to encourage everybody here to really move in the gifts, because you all of you have words and pictures that are going to bless somebody else that might just become part of their identity. There's such power in it. So, again, I was just thinking about, you know, these issues that we carry, these things that have maybe defined us for a long time. And I think when it can become difficult is when we think, well, what about the issues that are out of my control? What about the current issues? What about, and this word just has been coming to me for weeks now, estrangement. You know, I believe that's relevant to some people in this room, that there are estrangements that have caused you such pain that is like a cloud that just follows you everywhere. And as much as you try and enjoy the Lord and enjoy life, it's a painful thing, and it's a current thing potentially. And those are the things that can be so, so difficult. But even then, I believe that God wants to bring a freedom, because the things he can do when we're just engaged with him are unbelievable. The reconciliation that he can bring. And I've seen it. I've seen families reconciled when it looked impossible that would happen. Because that's how good God is, because he is a God of reconciliation. And so I really believe for some people here, that's just important that you hear that. For some, there may have always been a sense of sadness. You may feel you've never experienced the full joy of God. Maybe there's disappointments that need healing. Maybe there's guilt. And maybe you need to experience the perfect love of God in that situation so that you can have that release and then forgiveness. Sorry, just trying to find my other page. Told you before, my notes are always jumbled up. They don't make any sense. Something else the Lord just spoke to me this morning. Again, it's nearly bowled me over. He said, you need to tell some people that they are overshadowed, not overlooked. And I just thought, wow, that's amazing. I felt overlooked before. I felt I'd been overlooked by God, and that's a painful place to be. And then just to see that picture of him just hovering over my life, always there, just waiting for me to do what Joe did, just take his hand and say, okay, I don't understand all of this. Maybe I won't until I see you face to face, understand everything my life's been about, but I choose to trust you. Because if I don't, what else is there? What there is just pain and destruction and not getting the most out of my life. And I really want to do that. I want to get the most out of it. I want to reach my potential. And I know God wants that for me. And there are journeys we've been on and paths we've walked that are just so hard to get our heads around sometimes. Why is that? And it's so easy to look at other people's lives and think, everything comes easy to them. They get everything, I get nothing. There's all these things that we think. And that's how you know if there are things that you need to deal with in your heart or these long-standing issues, when you hear the things that you say, that's a real key. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you have a core belief that you're unlovable, that's going to have quite an impact. If you have a core belief that you don't deserve to be joyful, you know, and that is very common when I work with people as well in therapy. They don't believe they have a right to be happy and healthy, and so they will sabotage themselves and deliberately put weight on because they don't deserve anything else. It's just unbelievable, just the pain that people carry and the guilt. I think I've shared this story before, but, you know, I'm just so blessed that the Holy Spirit will just drop things into my head when I'm with patients, and I was with this businessman. I think I've shared this before, but it's a good story. And he was really struggling with his weight. But again, we just didn't seem to be getting anywhere, wasn't making any changes. And then I just felt to ask him, do you feel guilty about something? And he just broke down and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, this guy. And what it was that he'd been so busy building up his business, he'd sort of not seen his parents for a long time, and he got a call to say that his dad was dying and he needed to come home straight away. And instead of doing that, he went to one more meeting to do one more business deal. And when he got there, it was too late. And the pain that he was carrying over that was just so tangible. It was just heartbreaking to see. But I just thought, wow, even in those places where we can't talk about the Lord, the Holy Spirit could move. And he was able to start that process of healing and hopefully reconciliation with himself. But these are deep issues of the heart. You know, we often have a troubled soul. And when it talks about being in the shadow of his wing, that is about healing for the soul, protection from the soul. It's not just physical protection. It's about our souls. It's our souls that get troubled and cause us to have these negative, painful thoughts that just ruminate and ruminate and ruminate. And the devil has a field day with that. I can tell you now, he wants you to feel helpless. He wants you to feel useless. He wants you to feel like you've got nothing to contribute at all. That there's no point you even being here because you contribute nothing. He'd love you to believe that. But Father God this morning is just saying, come to me. Be aware of my wings. Raise your awareness. You know, and we don't need to keep saying things, oh, the presence of the Lord was wonderful this morning, as if it somehow just appeared and it wasn't there the week before. He's always there. He's always with us. And he really, really wants to see some breakthrough today. And I feel we need to challenge cynicism and pride and stubbornness and fear of engaging with that. You know, it's hard to be vulnerable, to live in the shadow. You've got to be vulnerable sometimes, because you know yourself, when you incline your ear and your heart to the presence of God and he moves, sometimes there's tears, sometimes there's laughter. But we've got to get to that point where we feel safe enough with each other that we can let God do whatever he wants to do. And I used to hate crying in front of people. Absolutely hate it, because I would immediately think, oh, if I cry, they'll all assume it's because of the baby thing. And it might not be. It might be something else that God's doing. And I was so worried about how people would interpret my response. But it's nothing to do with anybody else. It's about you, and it's about the Lord, and it's about what he wants to do, because there's not a single person in here today that God doesn't want to meet with. And, you know, when we come out for prayer, or when we kneel before the Lord, or whatever we do, it's not a weakness. We need to challenge that. It is not a weakness to bow before God and let him do whatever he wants to do in our lives. That does not mean that you are weak and you're a poor Christian because you need support or because you're getting down on your knees, because that's what we're called to do, because he's our dad and he loves us and we can trust him. It doesn't matter what other people think or feel. I think that's one of the things that holds us back from getting breakthrough. Being too concerned about those things. Let's not be stubborn. Let's not be cynical. I've been there as well. I've been in meetings where they've said, you know, we're going to get the worship team back. And I've thought, oh, here they go. They're going to manipulate us now. Get us feeling all nice. You know, I've had those thoughts as well. But it's about being deliberate. Nobody's being manipulated. It's about saying, right, we are going to spend some time with God. And you can engage with that as much as you want, but I can tell you now, there's not a person in this room who would leave the same if they'd encountered God. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. That can't happen. So I just wanted to challenge you on that. I just want to read this. Just a poem that I found. Under his wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. You know, we need to move into a place where we are aware that we are walking with God. You know, that Ellie's got a friend who gets the train from Hightown. I drop Ellie off every day. And I see her friend walking on her own. And then I see the older sister on her own. And then I see the mum, because none of them want to acknowledge that they know each other because it's not cool. And I just find it hilarious. The mum's like walking like this. And she knows the kids are totally embarrassed by her. So she's like, she doesn't even acknowledge them. And I just saw that. And again, the Lord was just saying, that's how some people are with me. They don't even acknowledge that I'm there. You know, we're walking through every day and he's there right next to us. And yet there are days where we don't even acknowledge him. We don't even say, okay, we're in this together. What have you got for me today, Lord? And it's as simple as taking hold of his hand. So I don't want to say any more this morning because I just want us to take some time. Because I really feel God wants to do something in people's hearts. Because it's about feeling safe. It's about trust. It's about knowing that you can give all these things. I mean, he already knows your heart. He already knows everything that's in it. There's nothing hidden from him. There's no secrets. He knows all of it. So I am going to invite the worship team to come back. Because worship is powerful, because what we're doing is we're being deliberate and spending some time with the Lord. You know, that's why we're here. That's why we're in church. And it's not just about doing this on a Sunday morning or in a conference. You know, whenever you put any worship on or any time, you can just say, okay, Lord, I acknowledge that you're there. It's not just about feeling something either. But, you know, with all of these things that the Lord's shown us, the first step is to make a decision. If there's something that's hung over your life for years that you just feel has defined you, then the first thing is to make a decision. I don't want that anymore. That might sound obvious, but sometimes people will deliberately hold on to things or think they have no choice. But that's your first step, is to make a decision. I want things to be different. I don't want to think this way anymore. I don't want to feel this way anymore. And I trust God that this dark cloud will be gone. And we'll be lifted, and I'll be free, and I can be more aware of the wonderful shade and the wonderful shadow of his wings. So, you know, if you feel that you do want to be prayed for, that is absolutely fine. Sometimes we just need someone to stand alongside us, and I am more than happy to do that with you. If during this time you feel you have a word for somebody, even if it's 20 years since you gave a word, give it out, because that might just be what someone needs to hear this morning. If you've got something that you can bless someone else with. But I just encourage every single person to just spend some time with the Lord and just think about those wings. And just take hold of his hand this morning. That's all he's asking. Just take hold of his hand.